Good evening and welcome to Digging Deeper on this Saturday evening. Tonight we're going to talk about loving one's neighbor. You know, I thought a little bit about this and I remember something that Amy Carmichael wrote. If I belittle those whom I am called to serve, talk of their weak points in contrast perhaps with what I think of as my strong points. If I adopt a superior attitude, forgetting who made thee to differ and what hast thou that thou hast not received, then I know nothing of Christ's love. If I take offense easily, if I am content to continue in a cool unfriendliness, though friendliness be possible, then I know nothing of Christ's love. If I feel bitterly toward those who condemn me, as it seems to me unjustly, forgetting that if they knew me as I know myself, they would condemn me all the more, then I know nothing of Christ's love. Are you saved? Do you know Christ's love? Are you a Christian? Do you know the love of Christ? Because the supreme commandment of God is for us to love one another like He loves us. Last week we began speaking about seven tests that are found in the Word of God that we can look to that'll prove whether or not we are Christ and whether we are in fellowship with Him. The first test, you'll remember, was keeping God's commandment. Tonight we're going to take up test number two, loving one's neighbor. You take your Bible right where you are tonight and be finding the book of 1 John, the second chapter. And if you do not have a Bible, write to the address on your screen, and we're going to make certain that you receive one. Now, as we get started tonight, allow me to share with you, as we come into our text, be finding with me 1 John chapter 2, verse 7, and he says here in God's Word, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. A new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whithersoever he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for your word unto us tonight. O Lord, grant us an ear to hear and a heart to receive. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we get started tonight here in this text, as we begin to open up God's Word to us, I want to share a couple things with you. Allow me to share with you regarding verse 10 here, that a Christian out of fellowship with God has absolutely no perspective on where he is going in his life. And again, in verse 11 it says, "He that hateth his brother." And in the Greek it means a fellow Christian. And so again, John is not talking about a man who is lost or unsaved. He's talking about one Christian who does not like another Christian. In fact, the Bible says he hates them. So the context here is of Christians, and the aim of this message is to prove that you know God by renewing your commitment to love your neighbor. Let's take up the first point here in this text. We begin again in verse 7, and he says, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth." How do we know that as a Christian, a child of God, that we are in fellowship with God? There is a test that will show us, do we follow the supreme commandment to love our neighbors? I want you to note here three facts about this commandment. Number one, it's not a new commandment, John writes. He says it's an old one. It is the very first commandment that we heard from the beginning of time. Friend, do you know that one of the very first commandments that God ever said to man was a man was to love his neighbor. Leviticus 19:18, the word of God says, "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against thy children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." Why then did John take a backdoor approach to the subject of love and not go ahead and just quote the commandment? Well, John had a very good reason. What John is about to say is new. So new that the people would say it was his very own idea. They would claim it wasn't the truth. And therefore, John had to establish the fact that God had said the same thing from the very beginning of time. Now, if the commandment to love had been there from the beginning of time, how then can it be a new commandment? What is there about the commandment that might upset people and cause them to turn away from John's exhortation? But we could say the same thing today. What is it that causes people to turn away from the exhortation to love one another, to love one's neighbor? This is the second thing that John discusses here in this passage. It is a new commandment in that Jesus Christ gave a new meaning to love. Jesus Christ loved his enemies. Jesus Christ loved good people, and Jesus Christ loved bad people. Jesus Christ loved the righteous people, and Jesus Christ loved the sinner, the acceptable. Jesus loved the rejected. He loved the clean, but he also loved the dirty. Man, on the other hand, has always found it easier to strike back rather than love. Jesus has shown us that we are to love everyone, no matter what they've done to us. The only way we can become obedient as children of God is to love one another as God has loved us. If we do not love, the Bible says right here, we're not in fellowship with God. Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Jesus says a very profound thing here. He says the only way that people can tell we are his disciples is by our love for one another. Our discipleship and our love for God can be measured by whether or not we love our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, in the faith, in the Lord. Thirdly, love is now made known by the true light that shines in our heart and erases the darkness. I want to turn our attention now from the supreme commandment to love one another. Let's take a look at the professing man. You see him there in verse 9. "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now." Now naturally, there are those in life who pretend. There always have been, friend, and there always going to be. But a professing man professes God, and the Bible says he hates his brother. That is, he's talking about a fellow Christian. We're not talking about a man who is lost. John has written to Christians. We're talking about a Christian who says on one side he is in fellowship with God, and then he looks over here and he hates his brother. How many people do just what John describes in this passage? Oh, they can run around and talk about the love of God, then they look over and see their brother they don't like, and they begin to talk about him. No man walks in the light of God unless he loves his neighbor, even those who despise us. If we hate our neighbor, if we mistreat them, if we backbite, if we gossip about them, then we're not living in the light of the fellowship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are living in the darkness of this world. We're living as if we were a child of another kingdom, not the kingdom of God. Living like most of the people live in this world today, hating one another, hating, speaking evil of one another. Have you ever witnessed expressions of hatred by someone who claimed to be a believer? I'm certain we all have. What deduction might you make about their relationship with God when they behave such a way? What challenges do you face in having to love others who are not loving toward you? Paul encouraged all Christians. He said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith or not. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be a reprobate? Let me ask you tonight, do you do that? Do you examine yourself? Don't be looking at somebody else. Do you examine yourself? Do you as a Christian examine yourself to make certain you are walking in the light of God's Word? Are you in perfect fellowship with God? See, we have here a professing man who claims that he's all about God. Well, friend, you're not all about God if you hate your neighbor. We're to love our neighbor. And then God turns our attention here to verse 10. We're talking now about the obedient man. The word of our Lord says, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. First thing we're told here in verse 10 is that the obedient man loves his brother. Two wonderful things are said about the man who loves his brother. Number one, he is a man who is abiding in the light of God's holy word. He is a man who is enjoying fellowship with God. Number two, he's walking in love just as Jesus walked in love. What does it mean to walk in love? Paul wrote, Christ's charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. The man who loves his brother has no occasion of stumbling in him because he walks in the light. That is, he loves God. And then there is none occasion of stumbling in him. That is, there is nothing than him in him that can make him stumble. Nothing to trip him up and fall and destroy his life. You say, how can this be said of any man? Because love is the great binding force of the universe. God is love. And therefore, the closer we draw near to God, the more we learn to trust God's care, the more we learn to trust God's provision, the more we learn to trust God's protection, the more we learn to trust God's power. When God is taking care of us, there is absolutely nothing that can touch us. The great need of every man is love. Man needs to be loved, but not with the sentimental passions of the world that come and go as freely as the falling star that shoots across the sky. Man needs to be loved with the love of God. The kind of love just covered in the above circumstances. The kind of love that will help him to know God cares for him. Do you know God cares for you tonight? The kind of love that God not only cares for you, friend, we need a kind of love and know the kind of love that God wants to deliver us and strengthen us against all the trials of life. The man who loves his neighbor like this will not fail to live the kind of life that he should. Now, our text doesn't say you aren't a Christian if you don't love your neighbor. But the problem is the world just won't know you are a Christian if you don't show love. You see if I can illustrate this. A practical way to love your brother is to hold him accountable. You say, well, how is holding somebody accountable an act of love? Well, Joe and Ron were true believers. They were good friends who loved the Lord, and they wanted to make sure that they did not waver from the path of righteousness. Seeing many of their friends fall into sin, they felt convicted to protect themselves. They too were human and struggled with temptation. After praying about how to stay accountable, they agreed to meet weekly for a four-question checkup. The first question dealt with their relationship with God, and the question was, is my relationship growing? The second question addressed their relationship with family and friends. Are my family and friends growing? The third question pressed into an area where most men struggle. Have I had any struggles with my thought life? The fourth question kept everything in perspective. Have I been absolutely truthful in answering the first three questions? Now, what did this do for Joe and Ron? While other men's marriages were drowning, their marriages were making healthy strides. While other men's testimonies were slipping at work, their testimony was real. And where other men lived in the perverted fantasies of their mind, Joe and Ron were captivating every thought and subjecting them to the obedience of Christ, just as the Bible teaches us to do. Did you know that the most loving thing you can do for someone else is to hold them accountable? And the most loving thing that you can do for yourself is have others hold you accountable. Remember this. True love is not prideful. It doesn't rejoice in someone else's wrong. Instead, it is kind, and love is patient, and love is helpful, and love is caring. We go further in this text. We discover here in verse 11, the bitter and hating man. Now, I don't know about you, but I think there's a lot of bitter and hating people, men and women in this world today. Let's see what God says. He says here, verse 11, 1 John 2, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Now remember the tense of this passage of Scripture. John is writing to Christians. He's talking about a brother as that of a fellow Christian. If you approach it as if it was an unsaved person, you could say that the bitter and hating man has no perspective in life and he is in darkness. But understand, this is talking about a carnal Christian, and this person differs from the professing person in that he does not profess to know God. He is a man who's totally lost in the darkness of this world. Several things are said here about this man. He is in darkness. He walks in darkness. He's not in the light. He is not in Christ. Therefore, he does not know God. He does not even profess to know God because he is wrapped up in this world. He takes what he can. He accumulates what he can. He gets all that he can. Then he sits on the can, and he don't care about anybody who gets hurt. He cares little about other people. He cares little about his family. Cares little about his friends. He is a man who lives simply and plainly for all that the world can offer. Therefore, how he treats his neighbor matters very little to him, just so he gets what he wants. Can I ask you tonight, do you know people like that? Bitter, hating people who only care about getting what they want. If we put this in context, this is a lost man. He has no direction in the here and now. He is blind. He has no direction beyond this life, and he's blind to it. He sees little, if any, meaning to life other than to get all of its comfort for himself. When a man hates or is bitter against a person, it blinds him even more. He often focuses about getting back at the person. He loses sight of what he should be doing. He just cannot see the truth. However, the context of this is not of a lost person. God is talking to us here about a carnal Christian. And Peter had something to say about this in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 9. This is what Peter had to say about this. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. God's word makes it plain, friend, that a man that doesn't love his brother, they're not necessarily lost. And in the context of 1 John 2:11, John is writing about a brother, a fellow Christian. He's talking about Christians. And Peter makes it plain that if a brother doesn't love his brother, he has forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Peter says he's blind. Peter says he can't see afar off. A man who walks in his house in the dark is not going to walk as sure as he would be doing in the daytime, in the light. Are you walking in the light of the love of Christ? Both Peter and John are saying the same thing here, that a Christian who walks in darkness is out of fellowship with God. And a lost person walking in darkness is blind because he has not seen God. Just as you would go to your doctor and get a physical checkup, so we must come to the Lord and get a spiritual checkup. You want to know why? Because if you fail to take good care of your spiritual life, you're going to get sick. At the end of your spiritual checkup, your doctor, God's Word, will give you some instructions to keep you spiritually healthy. But just as it is with your physical doctor, so it is with your spiritual doctor. You're going to have to choose whether or not you're going to follow the doctor's instructions. What kind of instruction does the great physician give you in order to keep you spiritually healthy? In this message, Jesus Christ has told us what to do. Will you do what the great physician says and follow orders just as you would follow the orders of your family doctor for your physical condition? Will you follow the orders of the great physician right here from his word? Will you take it into your heart? Will you act upon it? How do we know that we are living in fellowship with God? There are seven tests. The first test is this: do we keep God's commandments? The second test: do we love our neighbor as ourselves? Jesus said, Matthew 22:37-39, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Are you doing this? Are you loving your neighbor as yourself? Make an application as we close this message, because God searches hearts. You know that as well as I do. His word never goes out void. Would God be able to say, your heart is keeping the supreme commandment to love? Would God say, your heart is like the heart of the professing man? You profess to know God on the one hand, but you look over and you hate your brother on the other. Would God say your heart is like the obedient man? Or would God say your heart's like that bitter and hateful man we just talked about? Just what is God saying to your heart tonight, friend? Do you know Christ's love? Are you giving Christ's love to others? Now, we all know this. We need God's love for ourselves, amen? But friends, we are God's love to somebody else. Love is patient, love is kind, love does not prideful, doesn't vaunt itself, doesn't rejoice in someone else's suffering. Love cares. Do you dare enough to care enough to share enough the love of Christ with your neighbors? Father, we just thank you for your word unto us tonight, for your mercy, for your grace. And oh Lord, we all want to be in fellowship with you. Let us be certain that we are keeping God's commandments. Let us be certain that we are loving one another. Father, tonight we pray for the person who's listening who does not know you, wherever they might be. And we pray tonight that they might pray something like this: Dear Jesus, I'm in need of a Savior. Come into my heart and save my soul. And you teach me, Lord, how to love others as you've loved me. For the Christian who's gotten off track, and we just pray, Father, that this message tonight is spoken unto their heart, that they would rededicate their life to you, that they would follow you all the days of their life. And, oh, Lord, I pray for every soul, no matter where they are tonight, to know the love of Christ, to have the peace of God that passes all understanding in their heart, in their soul, and in their mind. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.